You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
TalkTainment Radio, worldwide sound. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
This is all in our family. I am Ms. Yolanda Robinson. We are all family. All in our family, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. You're listening to All in Our Family, and I'm S. Yolanda Robinson, and this is radio, the way it should be heard. We are family. I got to dance with me. You know what, listening audience? We have ignored dance. I don't think it's intentional. But if you listen to this show, you're going to find out what gives them joy. And, you know, dads do so many amazing things to keep the family together. And if you're on the show, you're going to find out, because guess who I got on the show? I have Richard Lundy, and he is the president of the Father-Son Initiative, and he is a dad himself. So, Richard, how are you?
I'm great, lady. How are you?
that's good. I'm glad you're doing fine. But, you know, you do so many amazing things in the community. And, you know, like I said, we sometimes forget about our dads and the wonderful things that they do. And, you know, could you tell us a little bit about how many children you have and about how long have you been a dad?
I've been a dad since I was 18.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I have three children.
Uh-huh.
Two sons and a daughter.
Uh-huh.
And the daughter is the youngest.
You have the youngest. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you do a father-son initiative. What is that?
The father-son initiative, we sponsored for about 15 years. We did the annual father and son celebration. It was an outgrowth of the Million Man March. That was one of the breakthroughs with one of my sons. Uh-huh. I didn't raise my children.
Uh-huh.
That was a breakthrough with one of my sons. Uh-huh. I invited him to attend the march with me, and he agreed, and I was shocked. And when we came back, we decided that that would be a way that we would commemorate that event, because that was groundbreaking point for us.
Yes, it certainly was a wonderful event. I remember that. It's just so spiritual and everything. But, you know, and you wrote a book. You forgot to tell us about that, Richard. Tell us about that book that you wrote. It's amazing, too.
Yeah, well, reconnecting with my son, or my eldest son, I mean, it was a challenge because I had to reconnect with three children, and all of them had different moms. So all the brothers can really appreciate that, you know, what I had to go through.
Uh-huh.
But in any event, my oldest son and I, we had a different relationship, because I had him when I was 18,
uh-huh.
Went to the military, and got disconnected from him. Uh-huh. Early. He didn't come back into my life till he was about 25.
Uh-huh.
But after he came back into my life, we decided to, when we did the father and son celebration, we said, we need to write a book, because we found out that the way I communicated with him, this was pre-social media days, people.
Uh-huh.
When the way that you communicated was via telephone,
uh-huh.
And writing and letters.
Uh-huh.
And so while I lived out west, he was here in Columbus, and I wrote him a lot of letters, and he saved some of them, and I saved some of mine.
Uh-huh.
And neither one of us knew that.
Uh-huh.
And so we found out that we did. So we said, hey, let's write a book and let's build it around those letters. Because mm-hmm. as truth be told, I was doing virtual parenting before they talked about that. because I was giving him instructions in the letters that I would write him.
You know, I'm going to mention this too about some of the people that in the survey that I did on my social media. But, you know, how important is that communications with your child? You know, the telephone calls mm-hmm. and that communication. How what did that do for you?
That's invaluable. I try to share that with brothers all the time. You know, they, mm-hmm. like, when I work with a lot of guys that's trying to reconnect with their sons.
Uh-huh.
I mean, with their children. Uh-huh. And they'll say, well, I called him twice and he didn't call me back or whatever. Uh-huh. And I tell them, I said, first of all, if you had a child out of wedlock and you weren't there for that child, the responsibility is on you. You mm-hmm. walked away from the child. The child mm-hmm. didn't do that. Mm-hmm. So you, I tell them, and they, you know, I'm very vivid in what I tell them. I said, you got to really grovel, uh-huh. you know, because you're the one that did it. Uh-huh. You know, you had the child, uh-huh. you walked away from the responsibility, uh-huh. and now you want to have a relationship. Well, the kid, he says, I've made it myself all this time. Why do I need to be hooking up with you? Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to go through a lot to break the ground to do that. Now, with my first son, that wasn't that much of a problem because I kind of had a relationship with him because I wrote him a lot of letters. Mm-hmm. But my second son, I didn't realize that he was my son until he was about nine. Mm-hmm. I was informed that I had a son. Mm-hmm. And that was a little tougher. Because he was very angry, very bitter. Mm-hmm. But today, we have a great relationship. So mm-hmm. phone calls are very important. Mm-hmm. Don't miss birthdays. Don't miss graduations. Uh-huh. I don't care what. You can't do that. You know, that crushes a child, uh-huh. you know, when uh-huh. they, you know, they look out in that audience and they kind of want to see dad and they don't uh-huh. see him. But uh-huh. phone calls are important because it shows that you care, uh-huh. and it shows that you're thinking about the uh-huh. child, uh-huh. you know, not calling them to instruct uh-huh. them and to uh-huh. be telling them what to do, but yeah. just to call and talk to them.
Just to talk. Give them a conversation.
Right,
you
give
know,
them some conversation.
Charles Palmer sent me an email that indicated that was so meaningful when he has his children in the room mm-hmm. and they're talking. It just does something for him. Mm-hmm. And he has his grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And he said that those are moments that helps him to be a great dad.
Yes.
Did you find that to happen for you?
Well, again, like I said, I didn't have the opportunity to raise my children.
Yeah, but when you wrote letters and right. when you talked on the phone.
Oh, okay.
That communication.
Yes, when mm-hmm. When you communicate with them on the phone, when you have mm-hmm. you're actually talking to your child, mm-hmm. you can read a lot from how they're talking to you. If they're uh-huh. talking back to you, if they're just being polite, mm-hmm. those kind of things. So mm-hmm. with my daughter, she's very prim and proper, and you know, so I have to calm my stuff down, you know, because uh-huh. like when she was a kid, she put me in my place, uh-huh. put my place many a time, you uh-huh. know. But you want to have that communication, and you want to be able to talk to them. And my theory was that I talk to my children and share my life experiences with them uh-huh. at whatever age they are at that time.
Uh-huh.
If my son is 30. I'll uh-huh. talk to him about what it was like when I was 30.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
not talking about him, uh-huh. talking about myself. So uh-huh. then he will chime in because uh-huh. then he feels comfortable. But uh-huh. when you start out talking and you use you, uh-huh. you know, the kids kind of shut down on that because uh-huh. it sounds like you're getting ready to lecture them.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You know, I had another person on the social media, Charles Freeman, and he wrote that it was such a joy to see his children actually doing what him and his wife taught them. Mm-hmm. You know, he said that was the best dad moment.
Wow.
And he said it seemed that there was a period in the children's life where they were like sponges, where they were taking in everything that they said, and then they were taking it out too. So you know, those communications is really
very
important. It's a teachable moment too.
Absolutely.
But you don't have to be arguing.
Right.
You know, you can just
right.
share, like you said, sharing some of those experiences. Those are most important experiences. You know, I heard some other dads said Did you get a chance that watching the children be born? I had a dad, Galen Wilson, Ed Dozier, and Gary Madison said, just watching their children be born. Did you have a chance to watch your children be born?
No.
Oh, okay. No.
Back in those days, they didn't let you in the room.
Oh, they didn't let you in.
I was in basic training at the time, and I just gotten out of basic training, and I came home, and the night I came home, my female friend went to the hospital to have the child, and I was there at the hospital sleeping all night or whatever, and I said, can I go in there? And he said, no, you're not allowed in there, you know, so I didn't get to go in, but I was there when he came out, so that was...
You know, they had so many rules back then that didn't allow dads, even at baby showers.
Right.
I remember my granddaughter was born, and all the men came to the baby shower.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother said, I never heard of this before, men at baby showers.
Right.
But there was just as many men at the baby shower as there were women.
Right.
And they wanted to be there and share the joy, the family joy of the new baby being born. So I'm glad those traditions have been not now.
You are. I have to try. I try
you
to
didn't,
share.
You didn't get a chance to do it.
No,
huh?
I try to share with young guys how different it is, how different it was, and you know, it took a lot, it's taken a lot to get to the point where, you know, like now you see dads with their children all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Very much actively involved.
Yeah.
I worked with Head Start for a number of years as a consultant, setting up those father programs because the organizations didn't have fathers involved. Fathers couldn't come in and get their kids.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been a long journey, but I'm really happy that guys get to do that, and I think the children are happy too. It makes it
good for the children to see their dads come in and pick them up from school, and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's not disciplinary.
Right.
You know? Now, when I saw my dad, I knew that I was in trouble.
Absolutely.
Because he said, if I had to come down here and straighten you out after losing money on my job, you're going to be in trouble. And so, you know, if he was at the school, I said, uh-oh.
No, but you didn't want your parents coming to school.
You didn't want your parents. You didn't want them in the building.
Right.
You know, I didn't want my dad in the building. I tried to work hard to keep him out of there because I knew what I'd have to deal with when I came home. But, you know, we also talked about, they also said that being called dad, Dwayne Carter and Gary Stephen Madison said, his greatest dad moment is when his child said, Daddy. Well, how did you feel about that, Richard?
Well, when you think about it again, a different experience.
Yeah, it's a different experience.
My oldest son, for the longest, called me Richard.
Oh.
And he did it on purpose, you know, and he thought it would get under my skin.
Uh-huh.
But I had so many nephews that they were raised by single moms.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I was numb to that. It didn't bother me.
Uh-huh.
But... The one year he at the father and son celebration, he gave me a lifetime achievement award, and at that point in time, he introduced me as his dad.
That made you feel really good. Yeah.
Now he calls me dad all the time.
So that was a breakthrough.
Yeah, that was amazing.
So that made you feel better when they say when they say dad.
Dad sounds more. Friendly. It's user friendly. Father sounds like you're getting ready to tell him something or whoop him.
We did get those back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about raising, being an uncle, and did you help raise some of your nieces and nephews?
I helped raise 13 nephews.
Oh my gosh.
I was the only uncle.
Only uncle. You was like an uncle daddy.
Yeah. My oldest nephew is 6 years younger than me. And each one of them, I've seen them from birth to where they are now. Watched them in their development and growth. And my sister always tells me, she tells her sons all the time, you guys are just like your uncle. You don't like it, but you just like it. You know?
I have some amazing brothers. I like to brag on them because they are amazing.
My oldest brother passed,
and he helped me raise my son. And my son attributed his work ethic to my oldest brother because with Chad, being on time is late. But, you know, Chad was doing some things that I didn't like. Rudolph gave him a job, work helping him clean the offices, and he paid him, you know. And how that turned around was when Rudolph got sick, Chad would get up every morning before he went to work. He was very appreciative and wrap his legs because he's had problems with his legs. And then when he'd get off work, he would wrap his legs for his uncle. And it didn't even charge him, but he just said he was so appreciative of that, you know. And so it's sometimes when you in the family, you have to take, you know, take up when those the kids don't have a fatherly figure in the family, the uncles and the cousins. You might have a cousin daddy.
Absolutely.
But we were talking about the neighborhood daddy before the digital show. You was telling me about a neighborhood daddy, weren't you? That everybody felt like he was the father of the neighborhood.
He'd take no stuff.
You know what? My dad did that too. And he loved that position. He liked walking around being everybody's dad. Mm-hmm. But back in the day, you can't do that now. But back in the day, he used to spank some of those kids just like he would spank us when they were out of whack, you know?
The good old days.
The good old days. And he said, and the mom would call and say, "Hey, well, I'm having problems with this child." And my dad would get right over there. You tell him you better go to school. <You know? laughs> Some of the kids thought he was the meanest person, but he made sure that they were on track. We were talking about teachable moments and the communications. I'm looking at my list of all the dads. I want to make sure that I get them all in here. But, you know, Reverend Clifford Rowley said that he loved watching his sons from a distance and noticing how they were learning and what good men they turned out to be. And Dwayne Carter said one of the childs was watching him. One of his sons was watching him, and he said, "Daddy, you work so hard, you know, trying to take care of that." And this was his teachable moment. I mean, his great moment. But he said, you work so hard taking care of us that, you know, I'm going to go to school and get a good job, and one day I'm going to take care of you too." As he said, that gave him a lot of joy, you know, to just see, you know, the kids are watching you, like we said, like sponges. They're watching you and seeing what you're doing, and they want to do the same thing, particularly if it's a good thing, you know. You are sometimes what you see your children in you.
Right.
You know, by the way you behave. Do you ever look back and smile about some of the times with your children?
I'm amazed every time I get with my oldest son because I sit there. I was in a business meeting with him the other day. And I didn't say a word, and that's rare for me not to say anything. But it was listening to him was sounding like me. You know, it sounded just like me.
Yeah, so you know you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Yes. That's so wonderful when you can your children are showing you that they're learning the lessons and stuff that you taught them. You know, another thing, and I know this is a happy moment, not just for dads, but for the mom and everything, was graduation. Larry Mason said when his daughter graduated from college, oh my gosh, you know, have you experienced that?
My being an educator myself, my expectation for all of my children was to graduate. I didn't care. So they didn't like that necessarily, but my aha moment was when my daughter, I talked to her. She was the last one. And I preach all the time to all of my young mentees. When you get out of high school, go to college and get every degree that you think you ever want. So you never have to go back. I said, because that's a trick. Once you leave, it's hard to get back. So I started telling my daughter about that when she was 7 years old. I said, I want you to go straight through. Don't stop. Go straight through. And so she graduated and got her bachelor's, and she was all excited and whatever. I said, "You ain't through." You know, she said, well, I'm tired of going to school. I said, no. Uh-huh. I said, you can get that doctorate by the time you're 30, and then you can go and act a fool. Uh-huh. I won't say anything. You can do whatever you want. And so when she did that, uh-huh. when she graduated, and I went to the graduation, uh-huh. she graduated and got a doctorate. That was like one of the most greatest experiences for me because she didn't want to. She didn't want to be in education because I was in education. Uh-huh, you know, but she got her doctorate in education.
Got a doctorate degree in education.
Right, right.
Maybe I'm just like my daddy.
Right.
Yes. Right. Oh,
she,
wow.
If you look at her career, I lived in Oakland. She lives in Oakland. Uh-huh. And she's doing the same things that I was doing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. You see yourself through mm-hmm. your children. Wow. You know, that's the greatest joy children can give their parents is to walk across that stage. Mm-hmm. You know, there's right. something, I can't explain it. Right. There's something that goes down deep inside. Mm-hmm. I was crying mm-hmm. and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, to see my son walk across the stage. And he has, now I have a master's degree mm-hmm. and he had to get a master's degree.
That's right. That's right.
He wasn't going to let his mom right. outdo him. Right. And you know what? I'm not angry about
that's
it.
That's right.
Because most parents would want their children to do better than
right,
they do.
Absolutely.
You want your children
absolutely.
To do better,
absolutely.
You know? Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, what advice, I mean, you know, you've been to go all around the country, you do workshops and stuff, Richard. What advice would you give dads right now, you know, on being the dad, some of the things that they could do to connect with the children? I mean, you've already said that, but, you know, some of the things that they could do to be a great dad.
Yeah.
But,
I think the thing, one of the things that my children always threw back in my face was spending quality time with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even when they're adults, you know, take them to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Just you and them. Not, mm-hmm. you know, just you and them mm-hmm. and just talk and mm-hmm. and talk to them about what makes them happy
mm-hmm.
and talk to them about what problems they may have, you mm-hmm. know, not mm-hmm. always be in the lecture mode, not always be in the, I know because I'm your father, mm-hmm. you know, not always mm-hmm. be in that mode, but be in a human mode
mm-hmm.
To do that and be mm-hmm. consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't miss a trick.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're talking out of both sides of your mouth,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're going to shut off, they're mm-hmm. going to turn off. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to walk the walk. I can't be telling you to do this and you see me doing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, because they're gonna be watching you.
Right. You know, like if you like, it's hard for a lot of brothers. But if mm-hmm. you alcohol drinker,
uh-huh.
and you do it at home, mm-hmm. you're pretty sure your son is gonna be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you do other things,
yeah,
if
too.
You're doing other things, mm-hmm. they'll do other things too. So mm-hmm. don't think that you can hide it or mm-hmm. they won't know, mm-hmm. you know. No, they're gonna know. So mm-hmm. you gotta walk the walk. And I've seen many more brothers doing that today because mm-hmm. they recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
Because those kids are sitting there watching you. I can remember when I was 8 years old,
uh-huh.
standing in the door in the bathroom,
uh-huh.
watching my father shave with a straight razor.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was the most intriguing, fascinating thing that I'd ever seen. I thought he was uh-huh. going to cut his throat.
Uh-huh.
I said, how does he do that?
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So, uh-huh. you know, children mimic what they see.
Uh-huh. So, anything, what you're saying to, anything that you want your child to do, you got to do it yourself. You can't be just preaching about it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be about it, right?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. That was such a good advice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Such a good advice.
Yeah.
Well, so when you do workshops and things, what's the greatest issue of being a dad that come out in your workshops?
The greatest is ego.
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 Oh, you know what I think ego means?
Mm.
Edging God out.
Oh, yeah. Whatever you want to call it, that's
uh-huh.
that's our biggest downfall.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about me,
uh-huh.
my sons,
uh-huh.
men in general.
Uh-huh.
First of all, we uh-huh. don't know anything about it. That's one of the things that I teach in my workshop,
uh-huh.
is what is the ego?
Uh-huh.
What is its purpose? You know, and once men begin to get that information, they understand it, because you can see ego. Women see it all the time. They see us out when we out. They see us, you know, out doing everything. I'm the blackest. I'm the strongest. I'm the fastest. I'm the best. I'm, you know, women, they don't like that. You know, and we do it all the time. You know, if you see us in a meeting, we start jockeying for position. That's ego. You know, so we need to understand that. And it gets a lot of us killed. You know, we you know, again, the cops play on that. You know, they play on your ego. You know, they talk down to you. They'll punch you with the nightstick or something like that. And they challenge your ego. And your ego is a defense mechanism. It's not an offensive weapon. We use it as an offensive weapon. It's a defensive weapon. So, you know, we have to learn to hold back when to be emotional and when not to be emotional. And what we end up doing, we end up being emotional a lot. And when you're emotional, you're not thinking on all your cylinders. You know, so I would say ego is the biggest thing.
Now, how can women, I mean, moms and women support dads? What would be, what do you think that we could do to support the dads in our families?
I think that you should speak with one voice.
Okay.
You can't. I say you do this, and mom says do that, and then she tries to do an end around.
And that just creates a lot of...
That creates a lot of problems.
But even if you're outside the home, you speak with one voice. So you got to make amends with the baby's mamas and, you know. You said that's not easy.
But you got to work. You got to be able to deal with it from the standpoint that your child, when that child gets to be an adult, that child can say, well, my father wasn't there. He may not have paid child support all the time, but my father was persistent. That was one of the things that my son told me. He said, the thing that got my dad over was he was persistent.
It's persistent with that communications, the communications, the modeling, the teaching, the wisdom, and all that makes great dad moments, right? I hope, you know what? I hope all of you have a great dad moment. We got Father's Day coming up this weekend, but every day should be a Father's Day. You know, every day we should, you know, show our dads how much we appreciate them. You know, and don't wait. Before it's too late.
Absolutely.
The time is right now. We can change the script and we can start really, you know, showing dads. And I just found out on this show, guess what? That none of them talked about money. None of them said they like to, they want you to get them an expensive car, a BMW, a mink coat, or a jewelry, watches, or anything. All they wanted was showing some communication, some bonding. So if you haven't talked to your dad right now, make that telephone call send a letter, you know, and make sure you tell your father how much you love him. It's time to go. But look, we got another show coming up on what you're going to get dad for Father's Day and great moments, great with wisdom. And I'll see you next week. Love you. You've been listening to TalkPaymentRadio.com.
Now we back from paying the bills, baby. Maybe we'll fire the landlord. This next song is dedicated to all the cool cats and...
Attention, Central Ohio.
Stand by for an important message.
Someone once said, these times like all times are good times if we just know what to do. Linco Realty says this is the best time to buy or sell a home, because interest rates are the lowest in history. Linco Realty has been providing real estate services for over 40 years in Central Ohio. Let us help you fire your landlord. If you have questions on pre-approvals, credit scores, down payments, financing, down payment assistance programs, schools, or other real estate questions, go to LincoRealty.com or call us at 614-375-2289. Again, 614-375-2BUY. Fire your landlord. Call us at 614-375-2289. Check out LincoRealty.com, then start packing.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicking online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicking products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicking candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop Ash Kicking online at www.ashkickin.com.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.
We can treat a sore throat.
We can bring life into the world.
We can work so many miracles, but the one thing we cannot do is read your mind.
When you communicate with your doctor,
when you ask us more questions,
you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake.
Tens of thousands of lives are lost every year due to medical mistakes.
The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help.
Please, open up. Ask more questions.
What are the side effects?
When should I expect my test results?
Will this medication interact with my other prescriptions?
We can't answer if you don't ask.
Help reduce your risk.
Questions are the answer.
Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
The SCORE Association, Service Corps of Retired Executives, was formed in 1964 as a nonprofit association dedicated to the entrepreneurial education and the formation, growth, and success of small businesses nationwide. More than 10,500 volunteer members provide individual counseling, mentoring, and business workshops for aspiring entrepreneurs and small business owners. The association is headquartered in Washington, D.C., with 389 chapters throughout the United States and its territories. For more national information, contact SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. Again, that's SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. This has been a public service announcement from TalkTainmentRadio.com.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 33, with not one day off since. The JDRF has my back, funding research toward a cure, prevention, and treatments that really help the millions like me to have a better life. The scientists funded by JDRF test themselves every day so that someday I won't have to. Join us. Your help is our hope. JDRF, improving lives, curing type 1 diabetes.
Our government doesn't seem to care that 9 million children have no health insurance, even though every dollar spent immunizing children against illness saves more than $16 in medical costs to make them better. Doesn't anyone see? We're wasting money and allowing children to get sick.
I am Susie Flynn. A vote for me is a vote for the 9 million uninsured children.
9 million uninsured children need a solution now. For more information, go to electsusie.com.
One in three adults has prediabetes. That means it could be you, your best man, your worst man. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org to know where you stand. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
At TalkTainmentRadio.com, we don't just talk, we don't just entertain. We've combined talk radio with the latest in online entertainment, with the ability to listen live at no cost 24/7. We are the premier online radio station.
Outperforming the digital quality of our competitors, our shows are produced in a state-of-the-art studio by the best radio professionals in the business. Hosting live shows on location at some of the area's greatest and most popular events, we give you exactly what you want to hear with talk radio that matters to you. Join us online at talktainmentradio.com, where you can listen live or play podcasts from the best shows in online talk radio. We give you a reason to come. We give you a reason to stay. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard.
We must build and bond our family.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. Robinson, and this is radio the way it should be heard. Oh, listening audience, what would we do without our dads? You know, I couldn't imagine what the world would be like if we didn't have dads. But on this show, we're going to talk about dads, and we're going to talk about great moments of being a dad, what your dad taught you, and, you know, great Father's Day gifts. Now, I've been listening to some of these dads, and they said, some of the gifts they've been getting are not that good. You know, one guy told me that his kids gave him a gift certificate and to a restaurant, and it was only paid for half the bill. y'all got to stop that. You have to stop that, because dads are important. Now, we really need to think about what we're doing and how it impacts dads, you know. So, and guess what? I found out, you know, through this survey and through talking to a lot of dads, it doesn't cost a lot of money to please them. So on the show today, we're going to have Skip Young and Richard Lundy and Dr. Charles Tennant, we're going to talk about, you know, wisdoms of dads and with great Father's Day gifts. But I understand I have Skip Young on the line. Skip, how are you? You're doing great. Okay, there's something wrong. Okay, is the sound working? Okay, Skip, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Yes, yeah, it's okay. Okay, is it working? Hello? Okay, Skip. All right. He's going to call back, and we're going to have Skip on the line. But you know what? Do we take dads for granted, Richard? Richard's in the studio. Do we take dads for granted?
Yes, I think we do.
Oh, ooh. Want to do that. You know, I don't know if it's intentional or not, but you know, this year, let's make a significant change, and so the dads are not taken for granted. But you know, what would it take to let dads know that we appreciate them?
It wouldn't take a whole lot. It could be a phone call. It could be a nice card. I mean, they have some real nice cards for fathers. I see a man, I say, I wish my kids would send me those. You know, I'd be wanting to buy them and give them to them to give them to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, because they have some real good cards for fathers. You know, and fathers need that. That's the kind of thing that motivates us and inspires us and keeps us going. You know, when our kids recognize that we are more than just the disciplinarian, or more than just the guy to get something going to work every day.
Uh-huh.
We're human beings. We cry, uh-huh. We laugh, uh-huh. and we joke, you
uh-huh.
know? And so,
uh-huh.
you know, just those kind of things go a long way with fathers. I mean, to me, to hear from my daughter, man, that just brightens my day.
All right. You know, and I, you're right. You don't even have to buy an expensive car, because right. I had one dad named Galen Wilson said that his daughter, they sent him a self-made card, and he still has that on his wall. But we have Skip Young. We're going to try this again. Skip?
Yes.
Oh, we got you. How are you doing today, Skip?
I'm doing great, Yolanda. How are you?
Oh, that's great. That's really good. You know what? You loved your father so much that you wrote a book about him, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, my hush puppies. My dad was a superhero.
Yeah, yeah. You said, give me my hush puppies. My dad was a superhero. What made your dad a superhero, Skip?
Well, it the title was Bring Me My Hush Puppies. What made him a superhero was I knew he loved me unconditionally.
Uh-huh. How did you know that? And, how did you know that he loved you? What did he do to let you know that he loved you?
You know, his conversations with me, his taking time out with me. Mm-hmm. The reason why I wrote that book is because of that. My dad was a baseball player, so was I. That's the sport he wanted me in. But when I decided to play basketball, as I tell people, I had to get permission. Uh-huh. And I got permission. He took me to the court. He asked me, could I play? He took me to the court, go to the car, get his hush puppies. And, of course, he beat the snot out of me. But
he was a good basketball player if he beat you, Skip.
Just starting, you know how you young people, you know, you say, can you play? Oh, yeah, but nah. He was a good athlete. But what happened? He beat me, went in the car. He didn't say anything. He didn't scold me. And then he told me, okay, you can go play. I got permission to play. Oh, and then after that, he supported me.
Oh,
So, you know, he couldn't make a lot of games because he was working. But he would educate me in many ways. My dad wasn't much for a lot of words. Uh-huh. Okay, but the main thing he wanted me to be is humble. That was his issue. Don't get arrogant. Uh-huh. Be humble. Uh-huh. So I wrote the book, finally finished it.
Wow.
But, you know, those that was a memorable time for me, very much so.
Oh, wow. Now, we're talking on this show, too, about great Father's Day presents. We seem like we don't know what to get dads. What was your greatest Father's Day present, Skip? What was your greatest?
I think Father's Day should be every day.
All right.
I don't think we should wait on someone to give us a date to celebrate Father's Day or Mother's Day every day. Above ground is Father's Day.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And but the greatest gift I got was all my grandkids being available, celebrating Father's Day with me. That's the most memorable thing. And every year when my daughter gives me a card or my kids give me a card, I actually collect the cards. I keep them. I got them in a special place, all the Father's Day cards I've ever gotten.
You do. You save them too. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Galen said he has one from 38 years ago. Wow. Yeah. That's a whole bunch of cards.
Yeah, I don't know if I go back that far, but I go back quite a ways.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is awesome. Now, what did your dad tell you that was wise, stayed with you for all the rest of your life?
The same thing I gave advice to my sons. My dad never told me about what type of woman or this or that.
Uh-huh.
He just said, find you somebody that will cooperate with you. That covers everything.
That will cooperate with you. Wow.
That covers everything. Find you somebody that's going to cooperate with you. Y'all can cooperate with each other. Y'all work everything out. Okay?
You know, that's a simple advice, but it makes sense. It makes sense
I think with fathers, I know I've been thinking about it, but I think it would be good to have recorded sayings of fathers. That you could share from generation to generation.
Oh, to share with the next generation on what dads are doing.
Yeah, yeah. Different things that each father told their son and passed it down.
Wow. Yes, yes.
Just like having African proverbs.
Yes, yes. This is what my dad taught me. Wow. That sounds like another book, Skip.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good book.
I think a lot of fathers and families should do that.
Yeah, for your own family.
Fathers and mothers. You know, we talk a lot. You know, your father and with your mother, and they, certain things they said about certain things.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, yada yada. So, you know, keeping the tradition alive.
Yeah.
Keeping the tradition of tradition of good behavior, good ideas. Keep it alive.
So it doesn't get lost. Well, Skip, I'd like to thank you for being on the show and sharing that. Give us the name of that book again, and when is it going to be out?
Well, the name of the book is Bring Me My Hush Puppies. My Dad is a Superhero.
All right. Bring Me My Hush Puppies. My Dad is a Superhero.
Yeah, because, you know, back then people were wearing hush puppies.
Yeah.
And it's the book is finished.
Uh-huh.
Just finished some editing and probably getting ready to go to print in about a couple of weeks.
Okay. Okay. So how can they contact you to get a copy of that book?
They can contact me. My number is 850-528-3422. I'm in Florida.
Okay. And y'all can pre-order.
My email is, well, it'd be better if they use the number.
Okay.
Give me a call.
Okay. So, they can pre-order the book. How much does it cost for the book?
I'm thinking I'm going to sell it, if I was sell it, for probably about $11.
All right.
I'd say $10.99.
Okay. Well, you know, Skip, I'm going to have to get some of them so I can pass those around to some of the people I know. So put me on your
list. I hear
you.
I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
I would appreciate it.
All right.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
and have a great day.
Okay. You too.
Bye.
Do we have somebody else on the line? Okay. Hello.
Hello, Yolanda.
Oh, yes, Charles Tennant. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, and we're talking about dads, and Charles, what was your greatest moment as a dad?
Probably about 5 or 6 years ago, when my family, my 3 sons, my wife, and my daughter-in-law, took me to the Funny Bone. I had never been to a comedy club, and I didn't want to go, and I was not going to go. And they sent my daughter-in-law back here to talk me into going. I still wasn't going, and she looked at me with a sad face and said, "Dad, I already bought the ticket." So I decided to go ahead, and I went out there. We saw Earthquake.
Uh-huh.
It was the best time of my life going to see that. I had never been into a Funny Bone place to see any comedian, and that was exciting for me. Very exciting.
You know, and they say laughter keeps you, helps you to live longer. So that was a good gift.
And it was crowded, about 300 or 400 people. And then Earthquake came over to our table and met everybody. And that was also great. So I would say that moment there, being with my son, my daughter-in-law, and my wife, was the top of all of them, because I wasn't expecting it. It was a surprise, and I didn't want to go. So that one.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome, Charles. What was your dad? I mean, we talk about dads and everything. What was the greatest advice your dad gave you?
My dad was a quiet person. And I remember him saying to us, "You earn your own money. It's important that you learn to earn your own money." And he worked as a custodian in a white school. And he worked 5.5 days a week. And he took my brother and myself to work with him on Saturday. And Saturday afternoon, he took us to work with him cutting grass for white teachers. And my brother and I each got 50 cents apiece. So he taught us the value of work. And at that time, I was 8, maybe 10 years old. My brother, a year and a half years younger than I was. And from then on, that did something. But before that, Yolanda, every Sunday, as a young boy, 8 years old, Sunday's papers were thicker down in North Carolina, and we couldn't carry them. The weekly papers, we had no trouble. And every Sunday morning, about 6:30, 7 o'clock, my dad got up with us, and he carried the papers for us to deliver. We only made a dollar and a quarter each per week. And we took 75 cents out of that dollar and a quarter and paid for our lunch. And I've been on the go ever since, and that's something I never forgot. What my dad did in my life. Taught me to work. And even when I was in high school, I got out, I worked a job as an orderly in a hospital making $1 an hour. From 3 o'clock until 11 o'clock. And that's how I set myself through school, being an orderly. In a hospital.
So work is important. And, teaching that work ethic is important. It's
very important.
Richard was just talking about that, too.
And I've tried to instill the same thing in my boys. Work for it and earn it. And then you do well, and you can teach your children the same work ethic. Go out and earn it.
Well, Charles, thank you so much for being on this show and sharing your advice. I really appreciate it. And we're going to send that out. And hopefully the listening audience will, you know, do that in their own families, you know, with the work. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for being on.
You're welcome.
Excuse me. Richard, you heard Charles Tennant and you heard Skip Young. And they talked about the wisdom of their dad. You know, what would you like to share with those about those comments that they made? One of them was talking about their dad being there for him. And you know, and the other one was talking about that work ethic. What do you want?
Those are probably the two of the most powerful things that a father can do. Be there for it. That was powerful. If you, when you know your father's got your back, there's nothing that you think you can't do. When Skip was talking about that, I remembered when I went out for the basketball team at East High School. When I was growing up, everybody wanted to play basketball at East High School. And that was my dream. But I was little. I was short. I was about 157 pounds, you know, wringing wet, you know. And I was left-handed. And back in the old days, left-handed people were discriminated against. But I remember I stayed on the team till the day before the season started, and I got cut the day before the season started, and that crushed me. My father wasn't there for me. If my father had been there, it would have changed my whole future, I think, because I gave up. You know, I didn't think about, well, you can go back and try it again. You know, I was mad, you know, and so I got mad. And, well, I'll show them I'm going to be, I'm going to go and play at the high Y. I'll be on the high Y team, and I'll be better than those guys. And I look back over my life, and that, you know, had my father been there and said, son, just come on home. Keep going over the playground and playing, and next year go right on back out. That would have changed the whole thing for me. So that support, that was powerful for Skip. I can see how why he
wrote a book about his dad.
And one of earned what you got to do. I got that from both my mother and father. You know, I remember when I wanted different tennis shoes. I don't like those tennis shoes. They're cheap. They don't matter. So my dad said, well, guess what? When you get a job, you can get whatever tennis shoe you want.
My dad taught us that everywhere you stay, you pay where you stay. That's what he said, you gonna pay. I mean, when we worked, we had to pay part of our money for rent. But guess what? I ain't never been put out. And every time I go stay with somebody, I pay where I stay. But that's what he had taught us.
That was good advice.
And so that was a good lesson. lesson for all of us, right, too, you know. But, you know, Pastor Clifford Riley said, and that was so much powerful on the social media, he said his best dad's moment was when he found out that the best friend he has was his dad. Wasn't it something? Wow. I said, wow.
Yeah,
he
powerful.
Said that was so.
That's powerful.
That was a aha moment, mm-hmm, when he found out. And you know all the things that you're saying about your dad and being there for you. You know those are the things that count more than anything else.
Right.
It's just like when you're playing ball to see your dad up in the stage, up on the stage. You know. Right. And to you know, whatever you're involved in, to see the support,
yes,
of your father, yeah, and mother. But, yes, you know, yes. So those are some real, real powerful events.
Yes, they were good examples.
What is your best Father's Day present, Richard?
I like what Dr. Tennant said.
Uh-huh. You know, okay.
To have all your grandchildren and your children to be over for the dinner on
yeah,
Father's Day.
Yeah, that's
to have them all together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, to have them all in the same room. Mm-hmm. That would be a good Father's Day present.
Absolutely.
To have them all the kids in there. And what do you think about those self-made cards? They don't have to go to the store.
Absolutely.
They have to do those self-made cards.
Hey, I'm a master at that self-made cards. I used to make cards for the ladies.
You didn't make the same for the same ones, did you?
No.
I had a boyfriend that made the same card for all of us. And we were at a party, and it had a heart on it and everything. And I'm saying, oh, look what he did. And they said, oh, I got one too. What's it? So you didn't do that.
No. I did a little more research.
And they didn't have Xerox machines.
I just go to the card stand at the Hallmark, uh-huh, and pull somebody one of their cards. I say, okay, I can put that in my card. You know.
And make a self-made card. So you're good at, you know, there's something special about those self-made cards.
Yeah.
It seems like they come from your heart, yeah, and your soul.
Yeah.
So that would be a wonderful gift to give dads.
Absolutely.
To have the children over, for the children to call or spend some time with their dad, mm-hmm, that would be a good thing, too. Yeah, mm-hmm, and it doesn't cost a lot of money.
Absolutely.
Shoot, I thought,
absolutely,
I'd have to save up and, you know, for my brothers, because my dad is gone, but, mm-hmm, you know, for my brothers and stuff, you know, but just to have a special card or something like that for them, they, mm-hmm, would really appreciate it.
Right.
Oh, wow, that sounds, mm-hmm, really good. Are there any other things that you want to say before we close? Because we only got a few more minutes.
The words of wisdom my father left me, I left with all my nephews and my sons.
Okay.
It was, you could advise and counsel them, but you have to let adversity teach them.
Oh, let adversity. You know what? That teaches you to bounce back.
Right.
Yeah, because the world
resilience.
Is resilience. The best thing you can teach a child is how to bounce back,
right,
you know, when they're down. Right. Because the world is not like, la, 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 la. It's not like that. No. You're going to have some ups and downs. That is so good, Richard. Mm-hmm. Richard, what are you going to be? Do you have any workshops that you have coming up or anything that you're going to be doing in the future?
No, I'm going to be doing some things on social media.
On the social media. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm, tell us the name of your book, too, so that people can purchase it. You know, because it's awesome, y'all.
The name of my book is From Abandonment to Reconciliation, The Father-Son Connection.
Wow. Okay, and they can get that online?
Yeah.
All right. That From Abandonment to Reconciliation, Father-Son Connection. Oh, my God. Richard, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for being on this week's program of All in Our Family. Yeah. And I'll see you next week. Yeah. Love you.
entertainmentradio.com.